next again?
What do we do second after we have filled our pot with the soil? What do we do?
Poke holes in it.
In a computer lab at Delaware Technical and Community College in Dover, a group of elementary schoolers is figuring out the algorithm for planting a seed.
Did I miss the computers?
No, we haven't been on them yet. We're going to do that next.
Teacher Margaret Rose and her summer campers are actually here to learn how to code, but arranging the steps for planting a seed is the same idea as getting a computer to complete a task. It's a style of thinking that teachers say will help these kids in science, technology, engineering, and math, and beyond.
We have to put it in sunlight and water the pot, so which one do we do first?
Water.
Could we put it in sunlight first and then water it when it's in the sun?
Yeah.
Once their algorithms are sorted out, they put them into action, planting an actual lettuce seed in a plastic cup.
There's no worms in here. I'm going to bring the soil bag around, and we're all going to put soil in our pot.
After that, it's computer time. Today, the kids are practicing debugging.
Debugging is finding and fixing problems. There are lots of ways to debug problems. One of the easiest is to move step by step until you find where something goes wrong.
Elijah Neal is watching this video on code.org, which many Delaware schools used this past year for their hour of code. Soon that hour could turn into a whole class, and today Elijah's learning some basic skills he'll probably need.
Now I see where I have to add something.
Okay.
Not completely finished. So do we need to go north?
He's fixing a set of pre-coded directions to make a bird from the game Angry Birds navigate around obstacles like boxes of TNT. And if he doesn't add the right step...
I think I would be doomed.
Okay.
But he makes it out in the end. For kids as young as Elijah, Margaret Rose says that learning process isn't just about computers.
They can try something and it doesn't work, and they have to keep going to get to the next level. They have to keep trying that. And they're really motivated by this format to keep doing it. So the perseverance is a real big thing. That's actually one of the vocabulary words that the curriculum teaches them.
By high school, these kids will be asked to actually write the JavaScript behind the blocks of code they're playing with today. And the State Department of Education is working on preparing them by upping its STEM focus in younger grades. Luke Ryan is the state's Director of Career and Technical Education and STEM Initiatives.
It's really important that we create a generation of scientists. And the way that I'll characterize that is just we need to take advantage of that natural curiosity, and that we need to foster a generation of kids who ask the question why.
If younger kids understand their own interests, he says, they can pick the high school and career that's right for them. Lots of kids at these summer camps, for example, say they want to be game designers.
I mean, you're having a conversation with kids around what they want to do when they're an adult. And that's a really rich conversation. And it's something that we need to do more with students. It's a privilege to like what you do. And to find that early in your career, I feel, you know, I feel like a lot of adults are still searching for it. But to have the opportunity to find out who you are and then kind of evolve in a profession, it's a really neat gift.
Job prep is a big part of the state's push for STEM education, with homegrown financial and medical companies on board. Public institutions like Dell Tech, where the coding camp is taking place, have also been involved in training teachers to teach STEM. That educational shift is happening at private schools, too, like the Independent School in Newark, where STEM is funded by tuition and a grant from the Longwood Foundation.
Go, doggy, go.
Go, go.
At an independent school camp this summer, middle schoolers are learning to design their own computer games.
This is turning right, and we had this. I had an idea to make it when they're turning right, the dragon actually faces right.
Rising sixth grader Matthew Boyle is building a two-player basketball game on an MIT site called Scratch. It's like code.org, but less guided, he says. Both use the same blocks of Java, with labels like if right arrow, then move on X 10 pixels. Sounds simple, but Matthew's game is pretty complex.
The ball is, whenever it touches orange, it will go up for 0.25 seconds. It'll wait and then go down.
Jonas Robb is the independent school's technology teacher who's leading this camp. He says this way of learning to code will take these kids far.
And this way they're actually creating something and learning, and rather than just going to somebody else's game and playing it. So it's kind of the consumer versus creator. So we're trying to teach them to be creators and not just consumers.
Nearby, Sean Allen is arranging his code so the mouse moves a bar at the bottom of the screen to catch falling rocks against a moonscape background. His game is called Meteor Fall, and he agrees that making it has been more fun than just playing.
It's just so fun to know how they work.
And if I get really frustrated with the game on Scratch, it's good because I can see the script and then see how to win easily.
And when winning gets old, they know how to make the game harder and better. That's the innovative instinct that camps like these are aiming to instill in Delaware kids, and what they hope they'll bring back to school with them as more STEM comes into the curriculum next year. Annie Ropeek, Delaware Public Media.